All right, we'll call the January 17th commission meeting to order at 9:05 a.m. Just a reminder, please, everyone, silence your cell phones. And if you have to take a call, please step outside. We will we'll call the meeting to order with an invocation. We do not have an honor guard to present the colors today, so we've pre-positioned those. I'll ask Commissioner Gonzalez to lead us in the invocation.
If you would please rise. Father God, thank you for this opportunity for this commission and representatives of this great state to come together this beautiful day that you have so provided for us. We thank you for each and every day. We thank you for this new year that represents new beginnings for so many. It can have the opportunity to start fresh, start new, start over, Lord, and wipe previous and past sins away and start a fresh new year and commit to you and commit to your will, Lord. And we also ask that you bless this commission and we make the decisions that's best representative of the people and you, Lord, and your will. Again, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunities that you will and provide us. Now, Lord, we ask that you not give us more grace, Lord, that you give us more discipline than the grace that you have so already given us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Join me in the pledge of the United States flag. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Texas flag. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right. Roll call.
Tommy Anderson.
Here.
Carlos Cortez.
Present.
Kelly Doster.
Here.
Joseph Gonzalez.
Here.
Mike Jones.
Here.
John McMakin.
Here.
Robert Moore.
Here.
Bob Morgan.
Here.
Bernardo Perez, present. Mala Sharma.
Present.
J.P. Stillman.
Here.
Steve Toll.
Here.
All right. I would like to also, before we get started, we have had a new commissioner appointed, Mindy Garza, who is visiting with us today in the audience. She will start once she completes her training and will be here at the April meeting. So welcome aboard. All right. Item number three.
Adoption of the commission meeting meetings of October 25th, 2018.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Doster, seconded by Commissioner Toll for adoption of the October 25th, 2018 minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item four.
The Budget and Strategic Plan Subcommittee may meet on January 17, 2019 during the commission meeting and provide a report for discussion and possible action related to any recommendations developed by the subcommittee, including but not limited to modifications to the agency operating budget and strategic plan.
Okay. Do I have a report from the Budget and Strategic Plan Subcommittee?
Commissioners, you all have budget information for the first quarter there. We're happy to answer any questions you might have. One page I might point out to you, if you go to the last page in the section, should be page 18, I think.
Yep.
That's, and I had mentioned yesterday that we have revised our performance measure reporting system. This will be the format of the new quarterly report for our performance measures. I apologize for the quality of the copy there. We can certainly get you another one if you need a clearer copy, but that'll be our format now for our what we call our key performance measures, the six that we report to the legislature.
On page 14,
Mr. Cole,
the 51-78-43 negative, will that work itself out as the budget goes along?
So that account is an account that is any expenditures that affect the other departments. We use that account that kind of to balance, to kind of spread it out. That account actually has no personnel in it, so it's an account that's a general account just to for expenditures that affect every single one of those departments. At the end of the year, that budget will be, those amounts will be taken over by the remaining budget of the other departments.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, hearing none, we will go to item number
five. Thank you.
Reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters relating to organizational purposes, functions, and objectives, including but not limited to the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, the Texas State Association of Firefighters, the State Firemen's and Fire Marshals Association of Texas, the Texas Fire Marshals Association, the Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the National Fire Protection Association, the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, the Center for Public Safety Excellence, and the State Fire Marshal's Office.
All right. Do we have a representative from the Texas Fire Chiefs Association?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Betty Wilkes. I'm the Executive Director for the Texas Fire Chiefs Association. Thank you for the opportunity to come and give you a quick update on what the fire chiefs have been doing, what the association's been doing. We had a great meeting yesterday morning with the Fire Service Consortium, and we're very encouraged. That's the group that gets together to talk about legislation during the session, before the session, and during the session, so we can go to the Capitol and be one united voice as much as we can be, because really and truly, we think that we agree 97% of the time. It's that little 3% that sort of gets to be a hiccup sometimes, and we want to be a unified voice when we talk to our representatives and we talk to our senators. So we're very encouraged by everyone that showed up and all that was discussed, and I feel like we're on the same page, and we'll have a louder voice moving forward because we keep meeting and communicating through the session. So in that vein, there was one bill that I will tell you about, the Springer bill regarding the inspector issue. And one thing that the Texas Fire Chiefs is doing right now is we kicked off on Monday a survey with four different options on what that inspector certification might look like, you know, with one, two, or plans examiner, different variations. And so we're getting a really, really good response to that right now. We plan to keep that open until probably Friday. We think we'll have answers by the end of this week, but we've got a really good response so far. 266 people have chimed in. So, and we've given them an opportunity to make comments as well, be identified or be anonymous, either way. So we're happy to provide that to this organization as well. So anyway, with that said, the Fire Chiefs Association, we're continuing to do the usual programs that we do, including but not limited to the executive conference, the company officer symposium, the LODD conference. We've added the EMS chief's update, as well as we always have the Texas Fire Chiefs workshop at the end of the year, but we've got three new programs that we're kicking off this year, and those are, one is a workshop really directed directly towards the ESD group, and we're going to have that probably, that's going to be May 17th, and that's specifically for ESDs in the state of Texas to help them with their specific needs, because that's an audience we really want to start developing content for. Additionally, we're creating a second-in-command workshop, and we've created a technology committee with Paul Siebert with Teaks, and there's going to be a conference March 7th and 8th called Under Fire, and that will be at A&M, and that will be showing off a lot of the technology that fire service might be interested in. So not necessarily a chief conference, but more send your technology folks to that. So, and it's free. So any questions for me? Yes, sir.
On the survey that y'all are doing on the inspector, do you have any pre-results of, you know, what you have so far?
I do.
Could you tell us, kind of give us an idea of what it's looking like at this point in time?
Yes, sir. It is very evenly divided between the four different options. I'm not kidding. We're looking at a 25%, 26%, there's a 17%, and there's a 30%-ish. So it is very evenly divided.
Can you tell us what those four different options are?
And it's not published, so this is not official at all. Right. And it's not a scientific survey. This is right. Just a questionnaire survey. So I wouldn't publish it, you know, with an academic group or anything like that. But just preliminarily, the three different options, three different certifications, is the 30%. So that'll tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okie dokie. Anything else? Well, thank y'all very much. Appreciate it.
Texas State Association of Firefighters.
Linda Shields with Texas State Association of Firefighters. Just real quick, we're in, of course, legislative session now, so basically that's what we're working on now. One thing I've talked to Tim about is HB 319 by Ken King. We're working on some, maybe turning that into a grant or something that the commission might be able to handle. And, you know, it's not a whole lot of money that probably we could get for it, but anything is good to put towards that, especially towards, you know, medium-sized departments that are just trying to work out, develop programs towards cleaning gear, et cetera, and comply with the rules that exist now and, you know, kind of the way everybody's going. Another thing we're working on a lot of workers' comp stuff. That's going to be a huge deal this session, and what's coming out of there will be good for everybody. Make that system work again. You know, dealing with cancer issues, injuries, everything. For years, we've kind of focused on the cancer side of workers' comp when, you know, the normal everyday thing are injuries that happen. You know, someone, you know, hurting a knee or something where they're waiting. You're sitting on light duty for 2 years, and just to get, you know, a knee replacement, which used to be a big deal, but isn't anymore, but the system's set up like it's basically a life-ending deal. So we're working on that. Probably going to have more to roll out over the next month or so, just depending on how fast things work up there. We're not really sure yet. Pensions, of course, are always something that's a concern, and we're just tracking multiple bills, some of them that are good, some of them that could be bad, and, you know, I'm sure we're going to end up working on a lot of appropriation stuff for the commission, but I guess Senate side starts Tuesday, and who knows when the House side will start, so, or who's going to be in charge of it. So other than that, that's all I got. Any questions? All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. The State Firemen's and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
Morning. I'm Mike Richardson. I'm the president of the State Firefighters Fire Marshal Association. I'm also the fire chief in Decatur. Sorry that Chris can't be here today. Chris has got the flu, and so we won't let him go anywhere right now. We kept him away.
Thank you.
I want to agree that we had a very good consortium meeting yesterday, and as Betty says, there's well over 95% of the things that are issues the Texas Fire Service we all agree upon. I don't have a lot else. The State Firefighters and Fire Marshal Association continues to do our Fire Chief Development Program for volunteer and combination officers. We are in our third year, Richard, fourth, and it's a year-long program, and we still have a waiting list on it with chiefs throughout the state. We usually have it filled up over a year in advance. And we're hoping to whittle that down. We hope that we can get to the point where we can do two of them a year, but it's been a very popular program. Other than that, we're gearing up for our planning conference coming up in another week, where we'll get ready for our conference for June. And that's about all the information I have. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Texas Fire Marshals Association.
Good morning. Laurie Christensen, immediate past president of the Texas Fire Marshals Association. Our October conference ended late October, had another great year, had over 380 participants. Had really good results. We're still receiving some of the feedback on it so that we can continue preparing for next year. We gave $5,000 to the Line of Duty Death group based on our, we have what we call a little casino night, and it's something that, you know, we have an auction, and we always try to give money back to different groups. We do have a new president, John Paul Erskine, Burnett, Texas Fire Marshal. Ariana Hardgrove, up in Rockwall, she's Assistant Chief and Fire Marshal, is now First Vice President, and Omar Garza is Second VP down from the Valley area. So you'll probably be seeing them more at these meetings. They weren't able to make it today. I think Ariana was going to try to get here, but is probably still looking for a parking spot. So. Our next year's conference is October 21st through the 25th. We've decided to keep it the same for now. We are looking into different hotels, things like that. This may be our last year at this particular hotel, but we do at this time plan on staying in the Austin area, and we'll keep you posted if that changes. We are also attending the with SFFMA, we help donate funding, and we will be attending the Firefighter Memorial and Appreciation Day on March 19th up at the Capitol. So we'll be part of that fish fry, and we hope to see a lot of you there, and I know it's always great attendance. We are also accepting proposals for next year's conference through March 1st. What we like to do is we send this out on a national level as well. We send out a request for proposals. One of the things we always say is it's great what we do here in the state of Texas, but we want to make sure we're on the cusp of what may be coming down even from the national level. So we've sent out the proposals, and we've already started receiving those, and again, it's open till March 1st, and it's from any type of entity, whether it be a public service, private entity, or any other group. We're also very excited. The upcoming NFPA conference, National Fire Protection Association conference, is going to be held June 17th through the 20th in San Antonio. Our association is working with them to help set up some hosting areas. I am also a member of the International Fire Marshals Association, and I'm a board member. We'll be having our International Fire Marshals Association meeting. I'll probably be sending some of that information out to Tim and getting. I'd love to make sure we introduce the commissioners and Tim and the group to some of the people that are making decisions up at the headquarters of the National Fire Protection Association. A lot's going on, obviously, with right now. I know there's a 1031 meeting being held in a couple weeks, and a 1035 meeting is coming up in the next couple of months. So a lot of things that affect us, and I'd love for you to meet some of those people. I wanted to say something about legislation, but just to say that we're monitoring it. There are a lot of bills that affect us, and, you know, the thing that's interesting about the fire marshals is obviously, we're definitely following what Texas Fire Chiefs and the Association of Firefighters is doing, because we're very interested in that. But we're also interested in what's going on the law enforcement side. So we're going to be putting out some information in the near future. We like to share that usually on our website, so we'll just ask you to go look at that. But we're really watching this session because of some of the things that are going on regarding active shooter. And what we find interesting from a fire marshal standpoint is we obviously want to not only protect the children and the people in the building, we want to make sure too we're protecting our first responders that go in. And that's some of the proposals that we're looking at that are coming out from the different districts, so we'll be watching that closely. Do you have any questions for me? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The Texas Association of Fire Educators. Texas A&M Forest Service. National Fire Protection Association. Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts. Center for Public Safety Excellence.
Good evening. Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Leonard Chan, and I found parking under the Bullock Museum, but it took me an hour and 10 minutes to drive down from the suburbs. The Texas Center for Public Safety Excellence, our mission is to help the continuous improvement of fire departments across the state through collaboration, especially to the agency accreditation program. We have 8 accredited municipal fire departments and 3 DOD, and we have around 138 on our mailing list across 25 fire departments. First off, we're going to congratulate San Antonio Fire Department for receiving the recommendation for agency accreditation last week. San Antonio Fire Department will face its final challenge for agency accreditation at the conference in Anaheim during commission hearings. That's in March, and there's only 19 slots open, and that conference tends to sell out. The parent organization has requested a professional qualification standard through NFPA. NFPA is looking for public comment as well as potential committee members for this. This standard requests a holistic standard which addresses the complex and emerging areas of planning, managing, and executing analysis and technology infrastructure within the fire service organizations. If standards development is approved by the Standards Council, the standard may additionally address related topics as the Standard Council elects. In addition, on my birthday, April 8, 2019, we will be hosting our Texas CIPC Consortium meeting in Jersey Village. We'll have the parent organization discuss a stakeholder input process for the 10th edition of the accreditation model. We'll likely have a university group talk about some data fire research. And we'll also have a presentation of a standards of cover from a department. And this attendance will be free, and I'm looking for free lunches. So that's in the works. From April 9th through 12th, at the Valjanque training facility and near Hobby Airport, we'll be hosting the basic accreditation course that is not free. It's $625, and it's a good course. This is the basic for you to become a peer assessor as well. And that's all I have, and I can take any questions. And I'm not telling my age when that meeting happens.
Thank you. The State Fire Marshal's Office. All right, we will move to item number 6.
Discussion and possible action concerning reports by the Commission, representative to the Texas Fire School Advisory Board, and by representatives of the Texas Engineering Extension Service, TEKS, regarding fire protection training provided by TEKS through its Emergency Service Training Institute.
Good morning, everybody. Juan Gloria, McAllen Fire Department. And the following is the report from the TEKS Advisory Board meeting that took place on January 10th, 2019 at College Station. The first item to report on is that new agency director, Chief David Kootenay, he was present at the meeting, it was a good opportunity for him to be in that particular setting. Regarding the overall final reports from the previous annual schools, regarding student attendance comparison, 2018 spring school had 386 students attend. That was 28 more students than the previous year. Spanish school had 390 students. That was negative 39 from the previous year. Industrial school had 716, which was 106 individuals more. And municipal school had 1,596 students attend during that 1 week. It was 36 students above the previous year. Regarding instructor attendance, spring school had 53 instructors, Spanish 162, industrial had 249, and municipal school had 474 instructors attend. Regarding medical calls and any incidents or issues with students during any one of those schools, during spring school, we're very happy to announce that there was absolutely zero incidents, medical issues, or injuries out in the field during that 1 week. Spanish school had 3, industrial had 10 incidents, and municipal school had 43. Now, of course, looking at the attendance numbers, having 1,596 students, 43 incidents, and all of those were relatively minor, that's a great accomplishment on the part of the instructors and the safety team at the school. Regarding assistance to the firefighters, HB 2604, last year there was 326 departments approved for that funding. It was there was 1,293 vouchers issued to a grand total granted from the Texas Forest Service of $920,918. Regarding TIFMAS, there was 5 departments approved, 19 vouchers issued to a grand total granted of $11,250. Regarding capital improvements, a lot of improvements continue to take place, but the highlights are the Center for Marine Training and Safety located in Galveston. Phase 2 of construction, it's already in progress regarding that particular facility. The renovation of Project 94 is completed, which is the latter project, and the wastewater treatment plant upgrades continue. That is the $4 million project that we had talked about in previous meetings. And the memorial wall in 2018, there was 5 new names added to the memorial wall, instructors that passed away during 2018. Regarding probe war, the report for 2018, there was a total of 9,046 certificates printed regarding probe war. And as far as the 2019 planning meetings, all of them are done. They took place this last weekend, with the exception of Spanish school, which is about to take place within the next couple of days in McAllen, Texas. Some of the topics being discussed are the meal plans, new courses being developed, and grant partnerships. And finally, the dates for the 2019 schools are already posted. Spring school will be taking place in March 3rd through the 8th. Spanish school, July 7th through the 12th. Industrial school will take place the week after, July 14th through the 19th. And finally, municipal school will take place on July 21st through the 26th. With that, I'll conclude my report, and I'll be willing to answer any questions if there are any. No questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Item number 7.
Discussion and possible action regarding report from the Commission Representative to the Homeland Security Council.
Commissioners, the council met on November 14th. There were a couple of presentations done during the meeting. A couple of folks from the Governor's Office of Homeland Security Grants Division did a presentation, provided some information on the various grant programs that are available out there and monies that had been awarded last year. I also had a second presentation from the U.S. Army Futures Command. They're establishing a command here in Austin. This is apparently a brand new venture for the military, and they'll be here in Austin. When fully staffed, the Austin headquarters, they expect it to include 300 to 500 personnel, and they'll coordinate work all around the country. Probably see a procurement budget they expect to be upwards of $30 billion. We also discussed the complex coordinated attack statewide exercise that occurred October 28th through the 30th. The exercise involved over 1,000 people, 65 federal, state, local, and private sector organizations. It was a simulated exercise. It simulated an attack at 4 different locations around the state. So it was a pretty big exercise. They said all in all it went pretty well. Of course, there are always findings, areas to improve, and so they've identified those as well. We also talked briefly about the 2019 agency implementation plans. Every agency has to submit a Homeland Security implementation plan each year to the office. Those were due December 31st. We submitted ours in early December, so ours is over there.
That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Item number 8.
Discussion and possible action regarding report from the Health and Wellness Ad Hoc Committee.
So I have Chief Kistner coming up to explain a little bit more about what we have been doing on the Health and Wellness Committee. So it's been great working with everyone on the committee, which is Chief Kistner, Chief Boyker, and a few others. I'll have him explain more. And we're just building up our goals and our end missions and what we'd like to get accomplished. And for now, we would like to focus on one of five categories, cancer, and publish articles and research data that will help each department. So thank you, Chief Kistner.
Thank you, Commissioner Sharma. Danny Kistner, McKinney Fire Department. The Health and Wellness Committee met with Commissioner Sharma in Houston on January 10th, and in addition, the committee has held two separate conference calls. Director Rutland was included in one, and he was consulted on parameters and constraints of the commission. The initial considerations were to define the mission and establish priorities, and a mission was adopted that reads simply, "The mission of the Firefighter Health and Wellness Committee is to provide factual data and practical guidance regarding key areas of health and wellness to educate commissioners and facilitate the development of action guides by individuals and departments." As Commissioner Sharma stated, we have five elemental priorities, and we refine them to include firefighter occupational cancer, firefighter behavioral health, including PTSD, suicide, and related topics, cardiovascular disease and general health, physical injuries, and career-ending injuries. While all topics are equally important, the committee determined that firefighter cancer will be the initial focus. Additionally, the committee will monitor topics of discussion on fire advisory and commission agendas to kind of reconcile activity. The commission brainstormed on methodology how to do this, including potential recruitment of subject matter experts in statistical reporting, research, and occupational health. Sources of factual data and peer review research were discussed, including the Center for Fire, Rescue, and EMS Health Research at the National Development and Research Institutes, and other programs such as FSTAR, the Research Repository of the IAFC, and many others. Moving forward, the committee would like to solicit for additional members, not to exceed 12 in total. We encourage any interested individual with a demonstrated history of subject matter expertise or history or related experience to apply through Director Rutland. Current membership, as Commissioner Sharma stated, is Chief Thompson of the Colony, Chief Doug Boyker of Sugarland, Chief Michael Meyer of Houston Fire Department, Brett Ellis of ESD 48, and myself. A vision and deliverable as determined by the committee is to provide action guides, not mandates, but action guides, adopted and endorsed by the commission, carry the weight of the commission, to reside on the commission's website. And respectfully, the committee asked for approval by the commission today for Director Rutland to begin some foundational work on the website. And that concludes our initial report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Hey, Chief.
Yes,
sir. I was wondering, just curious, the data that you guys are collecting, is that in the state or is it a nationwide kind of data collection?
It's both.
It is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's all I have.
Chief, how many people are on your committee?
Right now, as I mentioned, there's about five, but we're asking for additional membership.
If you're asking, you know, just a recommendation on that, maybe add somebody in the line side.
I'm sorry?
Somebody in the line side, yes. The line firefighter, somebody maybe on that committee, represent associations. So
absolutely.
That'd be great just to kind of get there.
Mr.
That
Jones?
Was mine. Just make sure we even out the committee.
There's also one more member we'll be adding, Daniel.
The year.
Yes. And so, I just got another recommendation from this chief. So also with the statistics, we will need to discuss with the council. I think that's the next agenda item.
There will be another for cancer issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you guys going to advertise the meeting so if people wanted to come and sit in to listen? Or?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Advertise the meetings when you're going to have them. So if you had outside wanted to come in and see it,
yes, and then we're asking to go through Director Rutland for that.
Can you place that on the website?
And specifically what we're talking about is, what do you want on?
I'm talking vacancies, the
sure.
request for vacancies.
Put an announcement up there. Sure.
Mr. Chairman, just a suggestion would be, is the committee's being informed that we do, like we've done on ad hoc committees before, that it has representation from all, from all stakeholders, I think, should be represented on the committee. And advertise as we would any ad hoc committee for. Maybe we're dead. But I'll just say maybe we need to have from all stakeholders like we do from ad hoc committees, from all ad hoc committees, and advertise it like we have before, and just to make sure we're well represented on it.
Okay. We will we'll try to accomplish that or accommodate that, but I mean, everybody has an opportunity to provide input to the committee.
More respectfully, one of the other things we're asking for is if Director Rutland may go ahead and begin foundation work on a website, preparation work.
So I'll move for approval.
Okay. Second.
I have a motion and second.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Okay, Carrie.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, item number nine.
Discussion and possible action and report from staff regarding cancer reporting.
Commissioners, we had the opportunity to meet with some of the representatives over at Workers' Comp. It was myself, Andrew, and Grace Wilson. Grace is unable to be with us today. The IFSAC team is in town doing the reaccreditation site visit for us, and so right they are up in, I think, Copper's Cove right now doing a test, and she wanted to be there while they're observing that. However, I would invite Andrew to weigh in as we just talk about, kind of recap what our discussion was with them. In a nutshell, the workers' comp folks are certainly willing to work with us in terms of getting data from them. As it should be, the current concern, of course, is always, the type of data that we might be looking for and what we might want to do with that data, confidentiality issues being key to the whole thing. But they're certainly willing to work with us. I think the idea going forward is to kind of decide what kind of information we want. As long as it's not information that would in any way used to identify anyone, then I don't think it'd be a problem at all. I think you've got a copy. She's getting ready to pass it out. I'm sorry. I'm going to provide you a copy of a report that they had provided to the legislature recently. And what you'll have there are the last two pages of the report. This specifically involved what they're calling an emerging issue, firefighter and EMT cancer presumption. And really, it's the second page that I was going to draw your attention to. That chart shows the claims that have been submitted to them from 2012 through 2018, the number of claims that have been submitted for a total of 168 claims. And again, the limitation here obviously is going to be that they only know about the ones that get reported to them. That's all they're going to be able to look at. But that gives you an idea of the data that they would have should we decide to ask for a little bit more information on, say, this 168, for instance. They could provide some additional data. Earlier this week, I got to thinking about it, and I wondered how or whether they knew that this 168 were actually all firefighters. And so Grace corresponded with them and asked, and they said, well, it's not a for sure, because they don't capture that specific piece of data as to whether that city employee, that municipal employee, actually was a firefighter. They are assuming, because of the way this whole issue is rolling, that most of them probably are. But they could not say for 100% surety that it does represent all firefighters. So again, that becomes another limitation for what they're going to be able to provide to us. Andrew, any additional that you can think of?
I think that covers it. I mean, they have the code there at the bottom for how people respond. We might be able to drill down and figure out who's a firefighter and not, depending upon, you know, the documents filed in the case and so forth. But this is what they have. This is their big picture, and we can drill down and try to use what's in there. But you can see it's surprisingly few.
And again, we didn't get any kind of specific information on these right here. We weren't to that point. We were just trying to find out whether they'd be able to work with us and what they felt like they could do.
Do you know if this would include only as municipal employees, or could it include private ambulance service?
It would be any entity, I guess, that participates in workers' comp to where they could a claim could be filed. Whoever
that
might be.
Including EMS or EMTs, then that could potentially include.
According to the report, it could, yes.
Yeah. I think there are a couple different codes. You have to check the box for which code, and one of them is who's your employer. And so one of the big code that triggers it, as I remember, is local government.
Right, okay.
But then that also covers EMT.
Right.
So you have to drill down.
Okay.
One thing that would help the Health and Wellness Committee is getting better or more accurate claims or reports or undocumented injuries and illnesses from each department. Is there any way where we can still protect the privacy of those that don't want to report a claim, just to know how many reported and unreported claims of injury and illnesses there are?
I think that's for you.
The confidentiality ones, I think we're just worried about not us receiving the documents so much, because they're happy to let us look through all their stuff, workers' comp and whoever else. They're worried about what we're going to do with it. And if you're looking at rural areas or something like that, you know, there are ways, I know in the HHSC context, with different who has what disease and where they can trace it back. So they're worried about how we're going to use the information and who we're going to provide the information to, and then, you know, our controls with it. So we haven't worked out how it would work with us and workers' comp. I'm assuming Grace would kind of go over there and check it out and go through and then come back to us with, here's what we would need to do. I know Grace reached out to Dwick about this recently, but I don't remember if she was able to go back over and look through the files or anything like that.
No, in one of her correspondence with them, you know, they talked briefly about types of information that you might be interested in. Sex of the individual, age, you know, general type of information like that. She mentioned city, and obviously they expressed some concern about that. Because if you had a smaller city for which maybe there was only one or two claims, there were only one or two claims that could begin serving to identify someone. So, but again, if we're looking for general demographic information, I think they're more than happy to work with us as far as that goes. I think the challenge with this, it would seem to me at least, is that, for one, we may or may not know whether all these really were fire protection personnel, and that we're limited here by only what what gets filed as a claim. We have no idea how many others never got filed. How many incidents may have occurred, people come down with something after they retired, that sort of thing. I think that's our real limitation with this. I wouldn't say that it's of no use, but it is going to be, I think, of limited help to us.
It would be interesting to see what they're getting in terms of, what DWIC is getting in terms of self-reporting and what we might be getting in terms of self-reporting and double-checking that. But again, we're working with people who report these things.
Okay. Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question? Tim, indulge me, please. Circle back around to the whole part where they couldn't identify the occupation of the employee.
What we understood was when Grace asked the question, they said there's not necessarily a way in their reporting system to identify specifically that this individual may be a firefighter.
I would dispute that. I'm looking at their initial reporting form right here, and item 35 clearly states occupation of the injured worker.
That was what they told us in the thing. Again, we can certainly go back to that and make sure, but
I think they have like broad classifications for how they pull the data, but they do have the individual information in the claim file. We would have to take that extra step, is my understanding, of going through and sorting it, because their boxes where they pull this is just a general claim number.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion on this? Any action? All right, item number 10.
New matters from the commission, staff, or public which may be discussed in future commission meetings.
Open it up to anybody in the audience. Commissioner McMakin?
This will probably be my last commission meeting, and I just wanted to thank everybody that I've been associated with. I've got some new friends, and I appreciate these last 8 years. I learned a lot, especially I can tell you that I do not now know what an FTE is. So, and several people who shall remain nameless have given me a tutorial on other items, so. Marine science, rocking the boat or not. So thank you very much to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any matters for future commission meetings? All right, hearing none, we'll move to item number 11.
Discussion of possible action on future meeting dates.
We've already set them.
I think we've already set all of the meeting dates for this year through the end of the year. So any other or any concern on that? All right, item number 12.
12, matters referred from the Firefighter Advisory Committee, included but not limited to discussion and possible final adoption of proposed amendments, new sections, and repeals as follows. Item 1, discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendment to 37 TAC Chapter 429, minimum standards for fire inspector certification.
All right. Before we get started in this section, I have one thing that I would like to for everybody to take a look at. In front of you is the mission statement of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. And the mission statement states, the mission of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection is to aid in the protection of lives and property of Texas citizens through the development and enforcement of recognized professional standards for individuals and the fire service. reason I asked him to put that in front of you is, you know, I've made this statement on numerous occasions. We don't take into consideration the citizens of the state of Texas. It's always, we're always, when we're talking about things, it's strictly about, seems to me like it comes from different interest groups on what they want. Okay? It states right here very clearly, and I would like to make sure that when we're talking about our mission, we include the citizens of the state of Texas. Okay? The reason I brought this up in front of this section is this is where we typically vote on different amendments and different language changes and rules. So please also take that into consideration when you are voting on this stuff. Is it good for not only the fire service and the firefighters that we are representing, but also the citizens of the state of Texas? All right. Thank you. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Quite all right. Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Wisco, Firefighter Advisory Committee. We have a new topic in front of us today, much to everybody's surprise. We'll talk about inspectors. Thank you all, guys. I had a little workshop discussion yesterday. At our last meeting, again, we reviewed a proposal that would separate Inspector 1 and 2 from the certification and make plans examiner a standalone certification. During that meeting, and I believe you all have copies of it, Tim submitted a proposal with a couple of options to consider. The first option was to grandfather all the current inspectors as plans examiners. Certainly arguments on both sides of that. The second option was included several other educational degrees and certifications that came from a couple of you commissioners. The committee looked at this, and we had one overwhelming opinion, is that in one meeting, seeing it for the first time, we didn't have enough information about those options to make an educated decision at our meeting. So what I'm bringing you today is that proposal with those options, with the statement that you can either pass this today or we could spend some more time just to look at that to understand it so that we can back up whatever decision we recommend. That's clearly your decision, but that's our recommendation to you.
Okay. Discussion?
Sure. Thank you, Chief, for your work on that. Part of the discussion and items that I've been looking over and working with some of the fellow commissioners on, as well as the advisory committee, some of the advisory committee members, was that we need to move forward with this. We've been pushing it down the road, and to simply push this back, if you will, just because of the plans examiner portion of it, I think we should make some action today to move forward with some final adoption. It would be my recommendation, and in discussion with the executive director, that it could potentially be simple to move this forward today by making plans examiner voluntary and sending plans examiner back to ad hoc and advisory to further research these other criteria that are required here for plans examiners. For those in the audience that don't have this option form, what we're discussing here is that it came to fact that if we required and made plans examiner currently as it reads mandatory, we would have to figure out what to do with professional engineers, architects, NICET level 3 certification on fire alarm systems. We'd have to deal with fire protection engineers, certified building officials, anybody in your municipality or county government that had plans review authority under some other certification entity, they would now be required, if this was mandatory, to obtain a plans review certification. So we want to further review this. We want to go ahead and pass it. It's my opinion. I'd like to make the motion to go ahead and forward this final adoption, and I'll read my motion here in just a second for the record. to go ahead and do this as a voluntary certification with sending it back to ad hoc and then ultimately back to advisory to review that language so that we make sure that we're not missing anybody and that we've also had communications with the Commission for Architects, the Commission for Engineers, so that we're not duplicating services and duplicating certifications for those folks. So, if there's not any further discussion, I will make a motion. But.
Go ahead. Make your motion.
I'd move for final adoption, Chapter 429, Minimum Standards for Fire Inspector, as presented with the following changes to Subchapter B, Plans Examiner, to remove all language related to mandatory requirements and send Subchapter B, Plans Examiner, back to ad hoc committee as designated by the presiding officer.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. And that's, let me make sure I'm clear on the motion.
Okay.
It's
move for final adoption.
Move for final adoption, fire inspector,
okay,
which would be inspector one and two.
That is correct.
Together. And then make plans examiner a voluntary certification, but be sent back for
further review
to the ad hoc committee for further research and investigation.
There you go.
Okay, so now discussion on the motion.
The only question I got for Jody is you want to make the plan examiner volunteer?
Voluntary.
Voluntary.
I don't want to.
Well, that's basically what you're proposing.
That is correct. I think that's the situation that we're in.
So we're taking a step backwards, basically.
Temporarily.
Temporary.
That's what I mean, but for now. Yeah,
temporarily. In order to make progress on this.
Okay.
Okay. You see. Yes, Tim.
If you'd like, I can provide you the information on the rule language that you would delete if you were to make it voluntary, just so you'll be aware of the rule language you're looking at there.
Please do.
On page 28, the very first page, 429.1F, right there in the middle of the page, you could delete that language for now. You could remove that language. And then moving over to subchapter B, so it'd be page 32, I think, on your thing there.
Yes.
You could remove in 429.201, you could remove B through F, B, C, D, E, and F. You could remove that language. That's all language regarding mandatory credentialing for that.
Okay. All right, so again, we have a motion and a second for the fire inspector one and two to be together and then plans examiner being a separate voluntary certification.
Add to, if you would, Commissioner Perez, just for the record, I'm in favor of it being mandatory. I just don't know that we could get there today.
All right. You know, this was for publication. We did receive something from the City of Houston where they are requesting that it be inspector broken into Inspector 1 as a separate certification, Inspector 2 as a separate certification, and then Plans Examiner.
That's it.
One thing that I would like to just remind everybody of our mission statement, and that is this the best that we all feel that we can do for the citizens of the state of Texas? Okay? When you vote, I would like for you to take that into consideration.
Before you all vote, I just want to, we had talked about that separate motion, and I just want to make sure that I'm clear with our attorney as to what we can and can't do. What I'm going to be looking for is direction from them. Issue plan examiner certification to folks who state examiner. Just go ahead, it's a one-time thing. So it becomes part of the action. So So that's going to have to end up being included in the rule in order to do that. Okay. We'll manage that in the interim then.
I just wanted to clarify the actual rule changes because, Mr. Gonzalez, I understood your motion to incorporate what Mr. Rutland said about the specific parts of the rule that would be removed from
correct.
This proposal.
Yeah. Okay. That's correct.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor on the motion? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Yes, ma'am.
You're welcome.
For the protection of the citizens of Texas.
Thank you, sir. Motion carries.
Next, 12-2.
Discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC, Chapter 439, examinations for certification.
Well,
this will be the final
tied to the first one, and still I think applies. It still applies no. based on what just passed. So this would make the make a separate. Exam for the plans examiner certification.
Move for final adoption.
Okay, we have a motion, Commissioner Tall seconded. Commissioner Anderson to move for final adoption. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Number three, discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC, Chapter 441, continuing education.
At this time, this one would require no action based on the vote for item one.
This would have been continuing education required had it been mandatory.
Okay, we'll table.
Make a motion to table?
You can move to take no action, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, that's big fun. Okay.
No action on three, four.
No action four. On three. Number four, discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 KAC, Chapter 459, minimum standards for fire and life safety educator certification.
Commissioners, this is new language that would create a fire and life safety educator two, just a continuation from one.
I hear a motion for
move for final adoption.
Okay, we have a motion, Commissioner Tull, seconded. Commissioner Stillman. Move for final adoption. Discussion?
Did y'all have any input on this at all?
We reviewed it. I mean, it looks pretty consistent with what's already in place for one, and it was a continuation. So we voted to bring it forward for final adoption.
Any further discussion? All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. I'm done.
Take a break so we can see if we can get that stopped out there for a few minutes. Or
all right. Let's recess. We'll take recess at 10:08. Please be back in here 10:25.
Well, I need an hour. That's all I'm looking for here.
We'll reconvene the commission meeting at 10:24. January 17th, 2019. Okay, where were we at, guys?
Item 13.
Item 13.
Discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC Chapter 427, Training Facility Certification.
Commissioner Moore had asked us for y'all to be able to consider some rule language that would allow an expansion of who could be approved to instruct, teach Code Board courses. They're running into issues where they've got credentialed folks who are wanting to teach these courses, and they may hold Pro Board credential, but maybe not necessarily TCFP. So I'm providing you with some proposed language here. If you go to page 68, that's the first part of it where it's going to refer you to the next page, essentially. And on page 69, you'll see the language that I think would solve this should you decide to move forward with it. So this would allow an instructor, or require an instructor, to hold either credentials that are already mentioned in the section, or they could hold these particular credentials. I ran this one by my testing and certification managers, and they both gave it the thumbs up, so I think we could make this work if y'all want to go forward with it.
Okay, so it states in, I believe that's I-1, training instructor must meet the applicable requirements of this section or possess fire instructor and discipline-specific Pro Board credentials issued by TEKS.
Correct.
So the instructor one could be a Pro Board instructor
could be.
Credential.
Yes. They either meet the applicable requirements already
right.
talked about, or they could hold those credentials.
Right. All right. Chair will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve is submitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
This is to publish.
Publication.
For publication. Any discussion?
This will be sent to the Firefighter Advisory Committee,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion?
I have a question. It's more of a question for me as an audience member. Why are we doing this? And will this apply to all the separate private or public training facilities across the state? So will all the colleges, I mean, are we going to do this for everybody, or is this, how does this work? So I'm kind of confused as a member here of why are we not requiring TCFP instructor certification for everyone, and why are we given this exception? Is there an issue that we're given this exception? That's my question.
Okay. In my opinion, I believe that the Pro Board instructor certification is in the group of Pro Board certifications that are, how do you say it?
Allow for direct reciprocity.
Yeah, allowed for direct TCFP certification. So why would it be different if you had instructor Pro Board, if you're allowing that certification to be reciprocity to TCFP certification? What's the difference? That's my opinion. Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second.
I thought that's back when TEKS had to apply for the TPAs, was to, because the commission.
We still have to apply.
Right, when it was a commission class that they were going to get certification for. And this is the same thing. So I'm kind of with Reedy on this. Or is this going to open up for everybody else to be able to? And now have we lost being able to have certified instructors by the commission teaching classes? I mean, if we're going to allow for one, is this going to open up for others? I mean, I guess I'm kind of like Reedy. I'm lost as to why it's an issue of why you can't use certified instructors through the commission.
Well, when you say you're opening it up for others, who are you opening it up to?
Any other training facility in the state of Texas.
Any other training facility of the state of Texas doesn't have the reciprocity on a certification.
Right, but you're still having to file paperwork with the commission for a commission class and by the rules have to use it.
And we still have to file paperwork with the commission.
Again, it's my opinion, like your opinion.
We still have to do the TPA. Any further discussion?
Call for the vote.
Call for a vote has been cut. All in favor?
No.
Say aye. Opposed?
No. No.
Motion carries.
I think that was all eyes over this thing.
Okay, item number 14.
Discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to 37 TAC Chapter 449, Head of a Fire Department.
So, Commissioners, you had the opportunity to look at this yesterday as well. I was able to provide you a little bit more detail. But again, kind of in a nutshell, what you're doing here is we are bringing this back to you, number one, to fix some formatting problems that occurred when this rule language got posted after final adoption. And that's what you're seeing on page 79 there, where you have your new number 1, 2, 3, and 4. That had been formatted incorrectly when it got posted to the Texas Register. So we're fixing that. Beyond that, what you have then is the new language that had been requested that y'all consider. And again, in short, what you have is numbers 5, 6, 7, and 8 in this section consist of combinations of experience that could allow somebody to qualify for appointment to head of department. And we are combining components of 1 through 4. We're looking at those items 1 through 4, and we're combining different variations of that could allow somebody then to qualify. You'll see the same thing in subchapter B, one page over. We've done the same thing for head of a prevention-only department. Again, the same idea in 6, 7, and 8, and 9.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
And this is for publication again.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to move for publication. Head of department changes. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Discussion and possible action on the review and evaluation by the Curriculum and Testing Committee regarding the International Code Council Inspector Certification Program.
Commissioners, the Curriculum and Testing Committee actually is meeting later this month, and so they'll have a chance to review that again. So I would recommend we just postpone till the April meeting. They should be able to bring you a report in the April meeting.
Move we table it.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to table item 15 until the April meeting. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 16.
16, discussion and possible action on matters from the executive director. A, decisions of the executive director in contested cases and consent orders.
Just one that I'll pass on to you. The compliance section did complete an investigation of one of our large departments regarding their program for care and maintenance of protective equipment. They completed the investigation, developed the report and the findings. They presented that to the department with our expectations for becoming compliant. We just the other day received their response back and their plan of action, and our compliance folks are reviewing that now.
Any discussion on that? Any questions on that? All right, B.
B, status of division functions.
Commissioners, you have a report there in front of you from the various sections. Just a couple of items that I might point out. We continue to do a heavy volume of testing and a heavy volume of certification issuance. In the testing section, we of course did launch our online testing program back in May, and we see that as really beginning to gain some steam now. We've done well over 1,000. As of several weeks ago, it was about 1,100, I believe. So, and that continues to really pick up momentum. I certainly ask everybody in the room to pass that information around, make sure folks who are going to be testing are aware of the online testing program. It's sure to streamline the whole process from applying online to testing and paying online. A person who otherwise qualifies for a certification, all they're waiting for is a test, it can happen very quickly after they've taken their test. So it really does streamline the whole process.
Any questions or discussions? Okay, does anybody on the board see a need for executive session? Hearing none, item number 18.
Open session for further discussion and possible action regarding preceding agenda item.
Okay, action item 19.
Adjournment of meeting.
Move.
Take a motion.
Entertain a motion for adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank y'all very much for attending. I appreciate it.